All right, take your Bibles. Turn to Proverbs chapter 3. Thank you, Brother Randy. Proverbs chapter 3. We are going to continue. We are going through the book of Proverbs. You say, preacher, we've been through the book of Proverbs about three times now. Actually, about five. We're going topic by topic. We're not going verse by verse. We have picked out many different topics. I'm going through them. I'll use the word chronologically as they appear through the book. They're not in any certain order other than how they appear throughout the book. And we've talked about many things. I've started a kind of a little mini-series within the series on our health in the book of Proverbs. Spent 2 weeks. We talked about sleep, of which some of you are still mad at me about. Then tonight, we're going to talk about one that I think will be very helpful to you. But let me start by saying this. Sin is the cause of all sickness. Sin is. Aging, pain, death, sickness, disease. It was all brought on by sin.
Yes, sir.
God made us to live forever.
Amen.
He made our bodies to live forever.
Right.
It was not until sin that those things entered. But you have to understand something. And I heard an old preacher today, he was preaching. I have some of his sermons, and he was saying, bless God, if you ate the way God said in the book of Genesis and Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy, you'd never get sick. Jesus never got sick, and he lived by that. Well, Jesus had no sin.
Right.
Bless his pea-picking little heart, he's not right there. I wouldn't fight him over it, but he wasn't right. Say, why is that, preacher? Because our bodies were cursed. Man was cursed. Woman was cursed. The devil was cursed. And the Bible says that the earth was cursed. Where does your food come from? The earth. What most people call health food is a result of sin. Go to the average health store and look at how much weed, and I'm not talking the kind you smoked, but how many weeds are involved. Worldly people, you... Yeah, happy hour, here we go. But most of what you call health food, it's either weeds, and don't get mad at me if you're one of these people, because I'm not mad at you, but some people think vinegar is the cure-all. Did you know that vinegar is pre-wine? Okay, it does not occur naturally in nature. You can't go out and just pour vinegar from something. All right? It is the stage right before it turns to wine. You let vinegar sit long enough and it starts getting cloudy, you don't drink it. Say why? You'll find out. You get a breathalyzer and find out why. It starts moving itself aright in the cup. Now, I'm not mad at anybody that does those things. If that makes you feel good, have at it. I'm not drinking vinegar. I like vinegar, but not just to drink it. All right, put it on my salad, no problem. Put it on fish, great. But I'm not drinking it. All right, it's just not going to happen. So, the earth itself is cursed. We are cursed. The devil was cursed. That means this. Sin brings the aging process. Sin brings pain, sickness, illness, death, disease. All of those things are brought on by sin. Now, I don't care if you're all natural or all chemical. You're still going to get sick. It matters not. Brother Roloff was known for his hallelujah diet. Brother Roloff died. Now, he died in a plane crash. But I saw Brother Roloff many a time where he had a cold and he was sick. Now, he'll tell you he wasn't sick a day of his life. In the very next statement, but if I get a cold, this is what I do. I just started laughing. Now, you have to understand, because you're a sinner, you're eventually going to die. Did you know that healthy people die too? There are people that are marathon runners, weightlifters, athletes. Their bodies are at the peak of performance. They'll fall over dead with a heart attack. They don't have high cholesterol. They don't have sugar diabetes. They don't have fat. They don't have bunions. I mean, they don't have any of this stuff, you know? They just say, why does that take place? Because all of us are sinners and all of us are going to die.
Yes, sir.
Now, Proverbs gives us some great and wise insight to our health. We've looked at several things tonight. This is going to be a little strange, but we're going to talk about our bones. The Bible has a lot to say about our bones. Number one, and this isn't part of the outline, but you would just be a bigger blob than you are now if you had no bones. I don't know how else to say that. Imagine if you had no bones, as all you are is a pile of goo with flesh on it. Your bones are your structure. We call it the skeleton from which, and that is true. Everything is contained with it and held together by it, and we move by it. It's what holds us up. And without your bones, you're nothing. You're just a blob. So it's something that separates us from other, we'll call this boneless type creature. And by the way, we are not mammals. We are humans.
Yes, sir.
We were not, that term was not ascribed to man until after evolution came into being. Just so you know, you are not a mammal, okay? Doing experiments on monkeys and cows and dogs don't help people. They don't react the same way. It's not the same thing. So, all right, here we go. Proverbs chapter 3, that's a whole nother sermon. Look at verse number 7. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. What's that it in reference to? Everybody look at me. It's from departing from evil, correct? It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. So God says here in Proverbs chapter 3 verse 8, departing from evil is good for your bones. Now, it is a relative pronoun. It will rename the noun preceding it. What was the noun preceding it? Depart from evil. It says, be not wise in thine own eyes, and fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy bones. In other words, not being wise in your own eyes, fearing God and departing from evil, it brings, verse 8, health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. All right. Now, evil produces stress. Evil produces anxiety. Anxiety and stress are virtually the same word. Evil brings anger. Evil brings pressure. Now listen to this. All of these negative traits hurt or wound the ability to produce marrow and blood in your body. Where is the blood produced in a human's body? It's in the bones. If they have to do a bone marrow transplant, they have to go inside your bones because you have usually leukemia or some type of cancer that's in the blood. And your blood-making ability is in the marrow of your bones. That is where your blood is made, okay? And God says when you stress those things and when you create anger and stress and rage and all that pressure, what you're doing is you're killing the ability to make blood correctly in your bodies. And when you depart from evil, you leave that pressure behind. And that pressure is relieved, and your bones will make better blood for you. Do you ever wonder why people with high stress have heart issues and blood issues? And oftentimes, you say, well, that has nothing to do with the bones. It sure does, because that's where your blood's made. You see, the more evil you avoid being part of, the healthier your bones and your blood will be. I did some medical study on this. Chronic stress or chronic anxiety changes the genetic activity in immune cells before they reach the bloodstream. In other words, when you are stressed, when you are chronically stressed, chronically anxious, What happens is you break down the ability for your blood to carry the immunities that keep you well. So while it's in the bone, before it gets to the bloodstream, it breaks that down, so you'll tend to be sicker because of that. And when you break down those immunities, you're more likely for cancers, more likely for other things. Everybody has cancer in their body. Everybody. This is a sick illustration, and boy, please don't get mad at me. It's just like meat has maggot potential in every piece. Because that's what happens. Now, if it's cooked properly, you kill all those cells. Same is true in your body. You have cancers. But if you start breaking down the immunity to be able to fight that off, guess what happens? Boom. And when you're continually around evil, those things begin to break down in your body, and you will not be as well. You can't stop all evil from attacking you, but you can stop participating in evil. I don't believe the Bible's talking about here that you can stop all evil from coming your direction. You can't. But you don't have to participate in it. In other words, gossip shouldn't be a part of your life. That's evil. Talking about somebody and talking down and exposing wrong and trying to hurt somebody, that is evil. People who refuse to participate in evil have healthier bones, blood, and bodies in general. Guaranteed. I gotta hurry. Number two, look at Proverbs chapter 12. Since you got your medical advice, here we go. Proverbs chapter 12. Let's look at verse number 4. Oh, this is going to be a happy time. Men, are you ready? Men, are you ready? How about amen?
Amen.
All right, because I'm going to need your help on this one. A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness in his bones.
That's right.
Yeah, he's real brave since his wife's not here. You stepped in that one all the way up. The word, well, a shameful woman is like rotten bones to her husband. The word ashamed, it doesn't mean embarrass. The word shame means to cause delay or to be long. In other words, somebody that holds you back. It means to cause confusion or someone who is dry or empty. Someone who creates dryness or emptiness around you. Now, the Bible says a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband. That word crown means leadership. When you see the word crown in the Bible, it's in reference to a position of leadership. All right. But she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness in his bones.
Yes, sir.
A man's wife is his success or failure.
Yes, sir.
Period.
That's right.
Behind every great man is a greater woman.
Amen.
I said great man, not you, Wiley. Ouch. Eve was created because Adam's success was not complete without her. A woman can make it without a man better than a man can make it without a woman, success-wise. A man was created to need that woman to complete him. Now, listen to this very carefully here. Most men marry up. And my wife has far greater qualities and character than I in many ways. I married up. But together, we both move up. Very rare. Did you ever wonder why, I'm going to use some worldly terms here, so not vulgar, but do you ever wonder why some of these models marry some of these idiot-looking dirtbag scumballs and say, where in the world what did she see in him? Thank God women are ugly blind. I mean, number one, they'd look at another man and say, wow. And the other thing is they look at a brand new baby and say, isn't it beautiful? They are ugly blind, let me tell you. Now, wait a minute. A man's success is not complete without a wife. A wife that holds her husband back, a wife who delays her husband, maybe by not being able to show up to work on time, maybe by not being able to be where they're supposed to be when they're supposed to be there. Maybe it's just because she has become so, she's made herself so needy to him that he can't go out and succeed. Maybe it is that she causes so much confusion in the home that he's too busy worried about things at home that he can't concentrate on the success while he's at work. Sometimes it's a dryness or an emptiness. When he comes home, it's dry and it's empty. There's very little love. There's very little input. He's expected to input at home more than he is at work. So the Bible says that a woman like that it makes him ashamed, all right? A man's love is not complete without his wife. Period. By the way, you never one time, I explained this to a preacher last week. You never one time, I preach to teenagers, used to preach to them a lot. But when I preach on dating, I go to Genesis chapter 2. Adam never told God he needed a wife. Adam wasn't looking for a wife. God came to Adam and said, you're busy doing what I made you to do. You're not complete. I'll give you a wife. You never one time find Adam looking for a wife. I challenge you. That's why one reason I think teenagers shouldn't date. I don't think you should date till you're able to be married. I don't think you ought to be doing that till you're close to either reaching or being in the vocation that you're doing for life. I think the best time to start dating is about your sophomore, junior year of college. That way there's time to date, find the right person, get good and solid, and get married by the time you're done. You say, why? Because by the time you're done, if you get married too soon, you'll never finish college. If, it's just, it's a vicious cycle. Now, and I've watched it happen thousands of times. The expression of that love, if it's held back from by a woman, causes rottenness to a man's bones. You're right. If he has to constantly hold back, he wants to give more than she wants. He wants to be more than she wants. There's a coldness, there's a dryness, there's an emptiness. And it creates a rottenness in his bones. Well, he's just always so mean now. When things get rotten, they get stinky. Wonder why the attitude's gotten stinky. A woman who is always late or delayed, and all she does, one is one that can cause continual confusion in the home, and one that is dry or empty can cause a man's bones to be rotten. I'm not saying occasionally late, but what I'm saying is somebody that holds everybody else back all the time. All right, number 3. I got to hurry. Turn to Proverbs chapter 14. Look at verse number 30. Proverbs chapter 14, verse number 30. A sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy the rottenness of the bones. Interesting. The word envy here, how many of you have ever heard the term green with envy? All right. That doesn't mean that you're organic. That term has changed meaning in recent years, hasn't it? The word envy means zealously jealous or wanting what somebody else has to the point that you'll do whatever it takes to get it. Just because somebody has it, then you don't. I gotta hurry. I want to rant for a second, but I'm not going to. Living to get what others have creates a rottenness in the bones. if Brother Harry has an orange charger, I'm not going to go out and buy an orange charger because he has one. Number one, I don't want it. Number two, I'm happy with what I got. I'm happy he's got what he's got. I don't want the other one either. what is that thing? The Challenger. Yeah, what's the souped up version of it? The Shaker. Yeah, he's got one of those. And I don't want it. You say why? I got to make my house payment. That is a house payment, and it's fine. He can handle it. I'm good with it, but I don't want what somebody else has. I really don't. You shouldn't live to be like others. You ought to live to be what God wants you to be. The worst part of envy is you're trying to be somebody that you're not. Everybody get that? I just put a butcher sink and some shelves up in my basement. My butcher sink has used countertop. My shelves and my sink that I built, other than the countertop, I called the builder of the subdivision where I'm at, and I said, "Can I scab wood out of the trash bins that you guys have?" He said, "Yeah, but what you building?" I told him. He said, "Well," he said, "tell me what you want." So I told him. He said, "Can you wait a couple days?" I said, "I got all the time in the world." He said, "I get extras on jobs all the time." He said, "Just hang on." He emailed me one about 2 days later and said, "Hey, go in front of lot so-and-so." He said, "Take all you want." I loaded my truck down with 14, 15-foot 2x4s, 2x10s, 2x6s, 1x6s in sheeting. My truck was squatting, and I got a lift kit on it. And pay one penny for any of it. The sink and the faucet that I got a rebate from buying a brand new washer and dryer for our new house, and that rebate covered the sink and the faucet. Amen. I had to buy one piece of sheeting. It cost me $11.04 to build both of those projects. Now, wait a minute. It's not commercial grade. It's not granite tops. I don't want them. I'm going to use that sink a couple times a year. Who cares? It really doesn't matter to me. Oh, I know somebody's got this. Okay, that's fine. They can afford it. I got mine for free. I'll save the $1,000 and use it for God's work instead. Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm having fun right now. God made you to be you, not made you to want something that somebody else has. That's envy. The greed for money and the status drives this envy. Okay, I'm going to turn around so I don't look at anybody, so that you don't say I'm looking at you. Just because the new iPhone will come out, or a new iPad, or a new computer, or a new this, or a new that, doesn't mean you have to have it. That's status. Did you know this one still works? Well, the other one's got all... I can do just about as much as you can, and you did fine when you had this one too. But you got caught up in what everybody else has. Apple's sales went down a little on their new phones because they found out if they put new batteries in the old ones, they work faster. So people are spending $29 on a new battery for their iPhone and not buying the new phone. No big deal. They still have Apple products. They're happy. Now, I'm not driven by, man, I got to have the new, I don't even know what the new, I don't even know which one I have is. This is a 7 or an 8 or something like that. I don't even know. I don't care. You say, why? I get calls, I get texts. I can take a few pictures here and there and shoot them where I need to shoot them. I don't need it for anything else. You see, we're doing fine with the old things before the new stuff come out. It wasn't until the new thing came out that you weren't happy with what you had. Envy, to have what others have, will cause rottenness in your bones. You're going to end up rotten because your bills are so high, you're never home to enjoy what you've paid for. You're going to end up wanting so many things that you can't have in life that you eat yourself up, literally. And I've got to hurry here. Number four, look at Proverbs chapter 15, verse number 30. This is good. I'll hurry through this one. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 30. The light of the eyes rejoiceth the heart, and a good report maketh the bones fat. Now, you're not overweight because you have big bones. That's not what it's talking about here. Neither am I. I don't have any bone right there. All right? The word fat literally means to insulate or to cushion. Now, listen to this very carefully. Listening to positive or good reports and not negative or evil reports insulates or cushions us when evil does come. When you listen to a good report, you're putting bubble wrap around you so that when the evil report comes, it might pop the bubble, but it won't hurt as bad. It's kind of like putting a bulletproof vest on for a police officer. You might take a bullet to the chest, amen, Brother Harry, and it might bruise or break a rib, but you're going to walk away from it. You might be going when you did, but at least you're going to walk away. What is that? It's insulating. It's protecting you. It's cushioning for you. And that is exactly what good reports do to insulate you from the evil. Here's what happens. The average person listens to so much bad report that they don't have enough good report to insulate the bad news. I get bad news almost every day of my life. We were coming to church tonight. My wife was telling us about a friend of ours that's having extreme headaches and are taking her in to see if she might have a brain tumor. She said, oh, I shouldn't have said that before church. I said, honey, those reports don't discourage me. I hurt for those people, but it doesn't discourage me. That kind of stuff, I get that stuff 20 times a day. It's okay. Now, it doesn't mean I'm immune to it and I hurt for those people, but it doesn't discourage me because that's what happens in life. Now, wait a minute. Here's what happens. Either you listen to so much negative or you don't remind yourself of the good report. Too many people, once they hear something good, they forget it and go on. And they didn't store it up. They didn't save the padding, so to speak. When I get my file cabinet back. In my files, I have probably a section of letters and notes about that thick. Of encouraging notes and letters that I've gotten throughout the years. I just drop in there. And if I'm ever down, it doesn't take me very long. If I got bad news, I just reach in there and start pulling out a few of those things and I can get wound up in a hurry. Doesn't take me long. Say, what do? I go from the evil report to the good report, and I concentrate on the cushion, not the shot that I just took. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 24. This works with that as well. Pleasant words are as an honeycomb, sweet to the soul, and health to the bones. Now notice in Proverbs 15, 30, made the bones fat. Verse 24 of chapter 16, and health to the bones. Pleasant words are healthy to the bones. The word pleasant there is agreeable, suitable, beautiful, or graceful. I'm going to shock you with something. This doesn't mean getting pleasant words. It means giving pleasant words. Giving pleasant words is health to the bones. Not necessarily getting pleasant words. Being agreeable as much as you can with people makes you have pleasant bones. Not just because somebody can agree with you. giving graceful words, suitable words. You know, I have to talk differently to children than I do to adults. And I talk a little bit differently to teenagers than I do adults. Teenagers are, especially when they hit that late junior high, early high school stage, They hit junior high's dorkies. All right? They hit seventh grade, and their brain rolls out their head, right through their ear, and they don't find it again for about 3 years. And then they get a little mean, and then, you know, so they're just doppy, dorky, lost every sense of intelligence. The only thing difference between a 3-year-old and a 13-year-old is 10 years. They walk the same, they talk the same, they think the same. And then they kind of come out of it, then they get into this embarrassed stage. And in this embarrassed stage, I love that stage. It's about 9th and 10th grade. You walk up to a teenage girl and say, "Hey, you got a booger in your nose." "Oh, really?" "Yeah." And they'll go look and "I did not." One of my favorite things to do. I lie not. I used to sit on the platform with 7,000 people at First Baptist Hammond. Leanne knows this is true. My wife knows this is true. And Joe does. There are certain teenagers out there. I'd look at them on the platform and I'd go like this. And they'd go. They knew what I was talking about. In front of 7,000 people. You say, "You did that?" "Mm-hmm." But those young people knew I cared about them. Nobody else knew what it was. Well, not nobody, but Brother Hiles didn't. That's all that mattered. He does now. That's it. I didn't get caught. I was smart enough when to do it. Amen? You see, pleasant words. But when those young people had problems, guess who they'd run to? "Brother Bush, can I talk to you?" "Sure. Come on in." Say why? Because I was agreeable. I was pleasant. I met them at their level, suitable. Pleasant words. So it's the giving of pleasant words that makes our bones healthy, not just receiving it. Pleasant words are not lies. It's just avoiding all of the critical type speaking we do today. We have labeled criticism as something positive in our world today. Criticism is not positive. There are times you have to tell the truth. I understand that. But critical thinking, that is secular psychology. It's wicked and it's of the devil.
You're right.
Period. We pay people to be critics. Idiots. How many sports writers have never thrown a football in their life and they think they know everything to know about football?
Right.
Somebody that's never thrown a pass in their life and couldn't catch one if you hit them in the face with it. And they want to complain about, I love what they did in Chicago this, I guess, last week or two. I guess the Bears quarter or kicker missed a field goal. And they were all getting on him. So somebody had a competition. They had 101 people try out to kick the same 43-yard field goal. Nobody even came close. And they were saying, "Hey, you think it's easy. It's not as easy as you think it is." Now, wait a minute. Pleasant words. These words also make our soul or our personality sweeter. Proverbs 16:24. Pleasant words are as an honeycomb, sweet to the soul. That's your personality, not your spirit. In other words, learning how to speak pleasant words can make your personality, according to the Bible, a little sweeter. I'm not going any farther with that statement. We'll stop. I'll finish this last one, Proverbs chapter 25. You're ready for me to change topics anyway. Proverbs chapter 25, look at verse number 15. The Bible says, "By long forbearing is a prince persuaded, and a soft tongue breaketh the bone." A soft tongue breaks the bone. When I butcher my deer, I always save several of the bones for my dog. And Marcia's dog. Buster likes deer bones too. Deer bones are great for a dog. They're hard. My dog's had same bone for about 2 months now. She's finally got that thing cracked. It's about, I'd be surprised in the next day or two if she didn't have that thing, all the marrow torqued out of that thing finally. But she's been chewing and 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 cracking and cracking and cracking and cracking. And I mean, she's wearing it down. And it's that the bottom of the thigh bone of the deer where it goes into the knee joint. So it's this part of the leg right through in here, and it's the hardest area on the deer. She's about got that thing wore out. She's working at it. Now, wait a minute. She didn't get it the first day or the second. That dog, you give her a bone, and she'll chew on it until she passes out. I mean, she'll chew till she literally just falls over. And she's done. Can I tell you something? All the yelling, screaming, hollering, and raising of the voice and force for words don't break bones, nor does it do any good. The old adage, sticks and stones can break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Some people just can't handle the hollering and the volume at which you do it, though. Do you know we can hear you if you talk in a normal voice just as much as if you yell? Everybody doing all right? Did you know raising your... Now, there's a way to raise intensity. When I preach, I don't yell and scream, but I raise the intensity. You come last Sunday morning and kind of cut loose a little bit. I didn't yell and scream, but I did raise the intensity level a little bit. Most people deal with quiet personal correction versus a public cussing out type correction. Nobody likes to be called out in public. Nobody. Nobody wants to be corrected in front of people. Nobody. I've had many staff people that work for me. I've had staffs of, you know, dozens, and I've had staffs that I worked when I was an assistant vice president of the college. We had about 300 or so workers that worked under us, and I know what it's like. But I can promise you this, I never called. Brother Joe's worked for me in a couple different church staffs. I have never called you out in front of anybody. Now, there's been times Brother Joe and I went to words a couple times, but nobody else knew it. And when it was over, he put his arm around me and my arm around him and said, "Let's get her done, Brother Joe." And that's what we did. We didn't always agree. Most time I was right and he was wrong. Sometimes he was right and I was wrong. Sometimes we were both wrong. Guess what? Didn't matter. But I don't think I've ever raised my voice at you, Brother Joe. Well, Mrs. Lopez has worked for me. I know I've not yelled at her. Yeah. I don't want to get beat up. No. Now, wait a minute. You know, it does no good to chew somebody out in front of everybody. It really doesn't. I got to hurry here. You don't have to be mean, loud, and nasty to get your point across. The Bible says that the soft tongue breaketh the bone. My wife was excellent at this as a teacher. She could have 20, 25, 30 kids. On the gymnasium floor, I could stand next to her and not hear what she said, and all 25 of them are starting to line up. I never heard her say third grade lineup. They did. I said, "Did you tell them?" "Yeah." I said, "I never heard you." "They did. And they better." She never raised her voice. You never heard her say it. They did. Getting people to self-correct is better. Chewing them out doesn't do much good. Get them to self-correct. You see, if you can get them in private, they'll self-correct. I've sat in the office with that man right there, and I've said, "Brother Joe, I didn't handle something right, and I need you to forgive me." Unfortunately, I had to do it more than once. Can I tell you something? Next time he and I had an area that needed corrected, he'd come and say, "Brother Bush, I think I did something wrong." Say why? Because I was willing in private to tell him I did something wrong. Most time, his wrong wasn't as bad as mine. But we've been there. You say, what is that? Soft tongues break the bone. You can scream and holler all you want, but your arm's not going to break. You let somebody that knows how to correct you and do it quietly. Brother Hiles had a way. Slobez is nodding her head. He could look at you. He could talk to you. You'd be, "Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir." You'd walk out and go, "Ow, that really hurt." It didn't hurt till you left the office. You didn't quite catch it. But boy, when you walked out, it kind of upside the back of the head. I always appreciated that about him. One time I did something, he put his arm around me. He said, "How about next time we not do it that way?" "Yes, sir. How would you like it done?" "I think you'll figure a better way." If I were you, I would, and I'd listen very carefully. That was about as rough a correction as I got. Now, you keep doing wrong and keep doing wrong and keep doing wrong and keep doing wrong. Watch him come unscrewed. If you were guilty of the same thing over and over and over and over and over and over again, that's called lack of wisdom, and he's going to wise you up. And I've seen him do it a couple few times and didn't want to be the recipient. But that was an extreme case. Extreme. It was not the norm. The Bible has a lot to say about our bones. Your bones are very important, not just for your structure, but that's where your blood is created. That's where your blood is made and produced and kept healthy. Let's take God's admonitions about our bones. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Oh, all of us have areas to work on. All of us have things that we should watch in our own lives, our own personalities.